on the subject of growth and environment. Growth and environment. The Gospel of Jesus Christ places a lot of emphasis on growth. Growth both as it relates to the individual Christian, that's part of the point in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. The entire chapter of 5 and 6 of Hebrew is about the individual Christian growing. And the fact that the growth that inspiration expected of them, the growth that God expected of them, it was not made. The inspired writer remind them that they should have progressed far beyond where they were at the time the book of Hebrew was written. He went on to imply that they were retarded spiritually. For when by reason of time you are to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you the rudiment of the first principle of the oracles of God. And you have become like baby spiritually. Growth. That was referring to growth of the individual. The Bible also places emphasis on growth of the congregation. That is the collective growth that the congregation are to experience. We have discussions here, and I have occasion to refer to it many times, where the Bible points out, and it is something that we beg that you keep in mind. The Bible points out that whatever ministry we belong to in the church, whatever area we decide we want to make ourselves useful in any congregation of which we are a member, God's word teaches many places that if our engagement, if our involvement is not along the area of edifying the church, it's like in the sight of God, whatever we do is useless. That's right. It's not just one passage. That concept of whatever you do, focus on edification of the body. Whatever you do, whatever area you engage in. And of course, edification has to do with building up, growth. So the Bible places, as I've said, a lot of emphasis on growth, both in reference to the individual Christian and to the collective body. May we look at just a few of these passages dealing with growth. We wish we have more readers. We have Michael and Brother Webb. Well, some of you far down in the audience, you have Dave there. Okay, let us look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, Acts of the Apostle chapter 6, verse 7, Acts of the Apostle chapter 12, verse 24, Acts of the Apostle chapter 19, verse 20. Let us start with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Grow. You see, remember where I started. That God's word places a lot of emphasis or importance on growth. Growth as it affects you and die as individual Christian, and growth as it affects the body collectively. God has great interest in that. And he watches what you and I do and how much, to what extent we focus on the growth, the building up, the edification of the body. So the passage just read that we must grow in grace. God's favor. And in
the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
In fact, much of the lesson tonight going to surround the importance of knowledge as it relates to God's will. So there, that passage the brother just read, telling us to grow in particular area. Look now at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 16.
And he gave some apostles.
He gave some to be apostles.
And some prophets.
Some prophets.
And some evangelists.
Some evangelists are preachers. The Bible does not make distinction between the evangelist and the preacher, because the evangelist is usually a preacher, and the preacher is usually an evangelist. Read.
And some pastors.
And some pastors as elders or bishop.
And teachers.
And teachers. In fact, pastor and teacher belong to the same category there, because the elders, which is a bishop, are usually teachers. That's one of their main functions. I make you overseer to feed. That is stated in the book of Acts of the Apostles. So, pastor and teacher, they belong to the same office. Read on.
For the perfecting of the saints. For the
all these leaders that God placed in the church. Notice, they are put there with this in mind. May I? And that upfront tells us that if you and I aspire to any of these offices in the church, evangelist, eldership, we must realize what these places, our offices, our function was created for. For the what, brother?
For the perfecting of the saints.
To perfect the saints. To bring the saints up to a level that God wants them to be.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
For the building up of the body of Christ. Notice that you notice the building up. Edifying, building up. Watch how the passage deals with that. All that are placed in the church, the edifying of the church is the culmination of everything else. The apostleship, the prophet that were in the New Testament church, the evangelists or preacher, the elders, these are placed in the church to function in the different ministry in the church. Because as it is rightly said, the church may have one minister, but it has many ministries. And these ministries are for these people, leaders, are for the perfecting of the saints, to get the individual Christian to a point where that person grows to become functional, productive for Jesus Christ. And all of that culminates in these different offices, officers, functionaries, contributing to the building up of the body of Christ. That is the growth of the body. That was what verse?
That was verse 12.
Read on.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
You notice, till we all come to that unity, that oneness of the faith. We're not tossed here and there with different belief, but all of us believe and hold on to the one, the same teaching.
Unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro.
You see, the business, and one of the points to be raised tonight is that business where many of us, we are ineffective as individual Christian, because we don't have a clear distinction in respect to who is and who is not a Christian. There are too many of us that any religious person that goes to church is a Christian. Brothers and sisters, that's not the way it is in the Bible. But that will come up in further on in the lesson, that we no more be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We believe every religious teaching that fly by us, and many of us we are not in a position to know the difference. And I'm not talking about a young convert, because it's natural for a person who has not been in the church for a long time to be ignorant of certain things. Growth takes time. But many of us who have been in the church for 18 years, and I'm not talking about profound, complicated things, simple things we are not sure, we are uncertain, that's not good. That is in the sight of God, that's not good. So here the inspired writer saying to the Christian, God does not want you to be the type of person that a particular doctrine come and you accept it. Something different from this one come and that contradict that one, but you accept this one too because you can't make the distinction. My God! The writer there which talk about that you're no more children tossed here and there with every wind of doctrine. Remember, there are much more confusing doctrine today than it was in the time of the apostles. In their time, there are probably 3 or 4 or 5 issues that confront the church. Today, we have hundreds. So that tells us we need to know the New Testament truth. That we no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Read, brother.
By the sleight of men.
Yes, that by the trickiness of men.
And cunning craftiness.
And the cunning, you hear what the Bible has said? Cunning craftiness. That is describing those vicious animal, cunning, smart, craftiness, whereby
they lie in wait to deceive.
You know what I find strange? Sometimes you have people, a visitor will come by worship and you have discussion like this, and the preacher talk about other church. Me no like when they talk, my God, have you read the same Bible that I've read? Because nobody talks about religious falsehood than Jesus Christ and his apostles. Do you think Satan just leave religion alone? That's what he has contaminated more than anything else. Satan has created more counterfeit in religion than the monetary note counterfeiter create in the monetary system. And if the men and women out there who love money to the extent they will do anything, if they can put together such good counterfeit, my God, that's why banks and government have to come up with scientific method to detect counterfeit, because your bare eyes cannot look on a $5,000 note and detect that it is counterfeit. There are certain light that they pass it under it. There are certain machines that they have to put together. Now, my point is, if man can make counterfeit monetary note so look so genuine, can you imagine what Satan has done to Christianity and the church? Put some thought in that. And when people talk about, when others talk about it, you remind them that the Bible speaks to us that there are many counterfeit out there. That you no more toss one fro with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lay in wait to deceive you. Read on.
But speaking the truth in love.
That's what we need, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel in love.
May grow up into him in all things.
That speaking the truth in love, you may grow up. You see, it's in the truth you must grow up. And you notice it's used the word grow. That's where we are, you know, we are still at growth. And why we run to these passages is to look at the emphasis God's word placed on growth in respect to the individual Christian, and growth as it affects the collective body, the church. What verse is that?
That's 15.
15. Let us hear 16.
Well, continuing 15. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies.
I like that. Brother Michel, what every joint refer to? Every Christian. And you notice what the passage is implying. Every Christian must supply something. Every joint supplies something towards the growth of the body.
According to the effectual working in mm-hmm. the measure of every part.
The what?
The effectual working in the measure of every part.
You know this? Every part, the effective working. Huh? Isn't it wonderful when your body or my body, every part of our body is working properly? That makes our biological body able to go about its business in an effective way. Well, the same way this biological body of yours or mine when every part functions properly. That's the way the Almighty God expects the church to function. Where every member is functioning properly. The Bible uses the word effectual. We would use the word effectively. Yes. May we look on one or two more passages and grow. Acts chapter 6, verse 7.
Last statement here.
Last statement. Thank you, brother.
Maketh increase of the body.
Wait. Thank you, Brother Webb. Oh, my God. I was about to suggest that we revisit the entire six or seven verses that has just been read. And notice how, we're not going to do that. Notice how many times words referring to growth, moving ahead, development is used in the passage. What that last few words says, brother?
Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
You're here? Maketh increase of the body. What is the body? The church. So every joint must so contribute to the building up of the church that there is increase. And after increase?
Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
So that the church will be edified. That's another word for growth, you know. And that whatever we do as a joint, we must do it in love. Chapter 6, Acts of the Apostles, 6-7.
And the word of God increased.
The word of God increased.
And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly.
You notice that in this and one or two other passages, a distinction is made between growth and multiplication. Listen to the passage again.
And the word of God increased.
Now that is, when something increases, it means it's grow. But notice what increased. The word.
And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly.
This is always so. I'm hoping to spend a little more time on this. In fact, what I hope to do is look on it from the negative standpoint. But what this passage is telling us, that wherever the word of God increases, you're going to find multiplication of disciples. Put another way, wherever you have more Christian teaching the word, you are going to have more people being converted. That's a fact. That's what the passage is teaching. But we are going to look on some hindrances or some environment which become obstacle to growth. Let us hear chapter 12, verse 24. Same Acts.
But the word of God grew and multiplied.
Start again.
But the word of God grew and multiplied.
The word of God grew and multiplied. Brother Mitchell, does it mean God gave them more word? Not necessarily. Well, what does it mean? The word of God grew and multiplied. Now, multiplication is telling you that that is more than just growing. Let me come back to this in a few seconds or minutes. Let us hear 19:20. That is chapter 19 of the book of Acts, verse 20.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When the Bible speaks about the word of God grew and multiplied, watch here. The idea is whereby you may have 50 Christians engaged in any particular city in teaching the word. I said 50. Probably in a week's time, instead of having 50, you have 80 Christians. When it talks about the word of God grew and multiplied, all that it is telling you and me is that there were more Christians who got involved in teaching the word. That's what that means. More Christians got involved in teaching the word. So whereby you have a 40 or 50 doing it in this city, in a short while, more people become a part of that teaching program. The word of God grew and multiplied. More people. It's not just that more people have the word, you know. The idea of the word increase, it means the word increase in its exposition. The word of God increase mean more Christians got involved in explaining to others the teaching of the gospel. More people got involved in explaining what Christ and the gospel was about. Okay. I don't think I'll be able to go through all of this tonight. But may I? What is to be noticed is that growth of the word, growth of the word, result in multiplication of disciples. It's important that each of us as Christians get this idea. And there are quite a few points to be addressed on this point, but I'm sure that most likely I'll deal only with one tonight. It's important that we get it. Most of the passages that were read talks about growth, discipleship, multiply. Remember, it means as more Christians get involved in teaching the truth that they know, more people were converted to Christ. That's the way it was in the first century Christianity. That's the way it was in second century Christianity. That's the way it is today, and that's the way it will ever be. Because that is Jesus' plan for church growth. Where every child of his get involved in sharing the truth that they know. Wherever those who are teaching are explaining the word, are exposing the word. We refer to it as exposition, which means you are breaking down the word and passing it so that person can understand it. Wherever you have more people doing that, you are going to have more people being converted. Wherever you have less people doing that, you are going to have less people get converted. Wherever you have a situation where if there are 100 of us here as Christians, when we leave on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, probably only 3 or 4 of us strive to look for and create opportunity to teach, to pass and attract, to invite somebody to church. Where only 4 or 5 may conscientiously do that. When you have, instead of 4 or 5, you have 8 or 10, you're going to have more convert. When instead of having 8 or 10, you have 16 or 20, you're going to have more people get converted. The more people get involved in sharing the word of truth, you're going to have more people enlightened, know the truth, and get converted. So look here. Multiplication, growth of the word result in multiplication of discipleship. But now I'm going to list 4 or 5 type of environment in which growth of the word cannot take place. Tonight, I will address only one because of time. Let me repeat. Growth of the word, growth of the word result in multiplication of discipleship. Discipleships are converts. Wherever you have more Christian, more brothers, more sisters get involved in reaching out to their co-workers, their neighbors, their family, their friends, giving them a track, inviting them to church, taking other interests to open their eyes to their need for Christ. Wherever you have more of that taking place in any congregation, you are going to have more disciples won to Jesus Christ. You see, I say it many times for you to get it. Now, but growth of the word cannot take place in an environment of ignorance. That's the only one I'll discuss tonight. I want to say a few more points on it, and the lesson will be yours. There's 4 more points that will be discussed most likely next week, Sunday night. Particular environment in which growth of the word cannot take place. The first one we are looking on here is in an environment of ignorance. That is ignorance of the word of God. No growth of the word can take place there. Let me break that down. Where you have, let's say we are a congregation of, say, 400 people. That's the membership. We are in that congregation of 400 people. You may have only 10 who put out effort to understand the will of God. They never ease up on themselves. They constantly, while they go about their various business during the week, they find time to be in Bible study, to study God's word. Why? they want to know what the gospel of Christ really teaches. They want to know it for themselves. They want to know it so that they can help others. Where you have in a congregation of 400, you have only 10 who put out the effort to be knowledgeable. Then, brothers, when that 10 increased to 20, to 40, to 80, to 160, you are going to have more converts. Where only a limited amount is knowledgeable of what the Bible teaches, that ties the hands of the church. All the potential of the church is limited because of ignorance. Because remember, don't think it's that I'm a Christian, all I know I'm a Christian. Let me tell you, you can't even show you are a Christian if you are ignorant. Truly. So growth of the word cannot take place in an environment of ignorance. That is ignorance of the word. Multiplication of disciples is brought about only where the word is known, understood, and explained. Did you get that? I'm coming down to the last few points. Multiplication of disciples is brought about only where the word of God, the word of Christ, the gospel, only in those situations where the gospel is known. The gospel is understood, and there are people who are explaining, breaking down the gospel in the various areas of the city during the week so that people can understand it. Only in those type of environment you can have multiplication of discipleship, where the word is known, it is understood, and it is explained. When the Bible talks about that the word increased, what it simply means is that there were more Christians teaching, explaining, breaking down the gospel so that the men and women they are trying to bring to Christ could understand it. And every man and woman in this building here tonight who consider him herself a Christian, God expects of you to become a part of that large or that small group that is creating and looking for opportunity to see that the word is explained. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 10.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
May I? So important, this business of knowing the will of Jesus Christ. That when Paul got some good positive news about the Christian in Colossae, He said they don't stop praying for the church there that they might be filled
with
the knowledge of the will of Jesus Christ. Only in that type of environment can the word increase and discipleship multiply. Read on, brother.
Of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work.
Be fruitful. Bear fruit in every area of serving Jesus Christ.
And increasing in the knowledge of God.
And increase. Somebody didn't hear that. Why man need to say that already when he said it? Why did he need to say it again when he already said it? That business of increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is important. Wait. You must be mindful that nobody really master God's word. If you and I live to see 100, 150, we will still be learning more from the Bible. Please remember that. So don't ever reach the point where sincere, constant studying, wanting to be in Bible study to learn, wanting to listen to a message to learn more. Don't ever give up those opportunities, because we don't stop learning the will of Jesus Christ. We don't stop learning about God. One last passage. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 8.
For if these things be in you and abound.
Remember, Peter has just listed what I would call this stratification of growth. Add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, etc. You see, here again, that passage is all about growth. But at the end of it, what he said there, brother?
If these things be in you.
If they in you.
And abound.
The word abound means grow. If they in you and grow,
they make you that he shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Did you get what I get from this? That knowledge of Jesus Christ is supposed to be productive. That's right. So the encouragement given here is that they be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. That is what he's implying. If our knowledge does not produce what it ought to produce, then we are unfruitful. His prayer is that their knowledge be productive. Our knowledge ought also to be productive. So we have just looked at the fact that growth cannot take place in an environment of ignorance. There are four more environments that we will look at next week, where increase of the word cannot take place in those type of environment. Thank you.
We will stand and sing song 369. 369. Please stand.